celebrating 40 years in the music business. Does that make him a legend already? I think it might. We'll have to ask Lee Greenwood. He's joining us on the line to talk about the milestone. Hi, Lee.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Well, pretty good. I'm calling you from Nashville, and it's a beautiful sunny day here.
Well, that's great to hear. So first off, I've got to say congratulations, because we don't see many artists making it to four decades in the business very much anymore. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. I can't hardly say 40 years, because it doesn't seem like it. And I certainly can't hardly say 2021, when I didn't think I would live to 2020.
Right.
But here we are, marching forward. Still being productive as an artist, and doing this all-star salute to the music that I've sang on stage and through the country, touring in my bus for the last 40 years. It's amazing.
Yeah, you know, we'll talk about the big celebration show in October, but first, my first hard-hitting question is, what's the secret to 40 years?
Strength. I think you always have to look at tomorrow. There's a goal tomorrow. Look towards the future. I'm healthy. I played sports all my life. I've never done drugs, and occasionally wine. That's the only liquor that I drink. And so, I think it's just a combination of things. I'm persistent in perfection. I've always insisted on great music and musicians to play it, and including anybody who speaks for me. They have to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. So. I guess that's part of it. Of course, you know, God steps in and says, you know, I'm going to take you. He does that. But I've tried to be healthy and respect my body.
And really, you've avoided, as you sort of listed off, the bad habits a lot of artists or people who all of a sudden get, you know, sudden fame or money fall into. And you just said, no, I'm going to focus on the music, it sounds like.
Well, thanks for saying that. And you're right. I just never have abused myself. Except for work. I am a workaholic, and I enjoy what I do, and you can't wear me out, and you can't wear my voice out. I'm still singing. I just turned 78 in October, and I have no trouble singing the high notes that I've always put down on record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's worse habits and worse addictions that you can have, hey, aside from work.
Well, you know, you also make more money if you work harder.
Absolutely.
And there was a time in my life when I was out in Nevada and living there before my career hit, and there was a lot of bleak moments and dark spots in my work schedule, and I would always just work harder, you know, to get the right job, make the right money, and be able to support myself since I was 16 years old.
And, I mean, let's be honest, too, good music plays a big part of it, too, because, you know, you have one of the biggest patriotic songs out there. You know which one I'm talking about, of course, God Bless the USA. And you know, that just, I don't know if that puts an artist on the map even bigger, makes your star bigger on the map. I mean, what's your assessment of that song and what it did for your career?
Well, God Bless the USA is definitely an umbrella over all of my music, but it's not a parachute. I am still producing new music. I have a 21 song CD I've been working on all this year, because it's tough to get into the studios with the COVID.
Yeah.
But we had 5 albums before I wrote God Bless the USA in the back of my bus one night while I was touring 300 days a year. And we were producing 2 albums a year. That's incredible. We go through so much music. And on the label at MCA with me was Reba McEntire, George Strait, the Oak Ridge Boys, who will be on the show, by the way. Barbara Mandrell, and I have become friends with all those people, but we all work to the same end, and that's producing the best possible music that we could. And I guess that's why we're all there at MCA for so long, and we were all very successful.
Did you think the song would become, I mean, I almost want to call it a political anthem in a way, because it has. I mean, you've met a bunch of the presidents all at the same time. I mean, what was that like? What has it been like for you personally?
Well, I worked several campaigns, and once you get to know the leader of the free world, I don't care which party that they're with, they're still a human being. And each president has a persona, whether it's Bill Clinton or President Carter, certainly the Bush presidents I work with very closely. I'm a Reaganite from way back in the years when my song first came out and he was president in 1984, and my song was Song of the Year in 1985. To shake hands with that person, I mean, I shook hands with Richard Nixon when he stepped off an airplane in Sacramento, California, and I was the drum major of my band, and I'm standing next to the airplane. I was 16 years old, and that was the first time I'd ever met anyone in politics, and shook his hand, and it was like, wonder if this is just a glimpse of what's going to happen in the future. But I had no idea, of course. And then with our current president, who had used my song for rallies, it was pretty amazing that the whole crowd would go, you know, sing along with my song. And I did the Boy Scout Jamboree twice in Virginia, and all the scouts would go, USA, USA. So it spanned the generations with me. And it's wonderful to know that I have something that can make America united.
And what do you say to a president? I have to ask this, because normally the everyday citizen says, it's nice to meet you, Mr. President, or something like that. You have a president saying, I love your music. I mean, I don't know how I'd react.
The first thing you don't want to be is stupid. I mean, you don't want to say something crazy like, so how's the war going? You know, I mean,
true.
You have to make sure that you address the president's office, not particularly the person. You get to know the person later if they allow you to do. And my very favorite was, of course, George Bush 41, who I got very close. He was a war hero. He was the head of the CIA before, while he was vice president then, under the Reagan administration, and then became president. I spent nights at the White House and talking with him, played piano in the West Wing. And I got just a very close friendship with that particular president. But when you get to know them as a person and talk about something not sensitive, of course, nothing has to do with the government, because although I am on the National Endowment of the Arts Council, appointed by the president, and I'm a government employee, but we never talk about subjects that are sensitive to national security and all that. You know, people all say, hey, what did the president tell you? You know, he didn't tell me anything. We had a good time, had some lunch, and just talked about the nation and how we love it.
Let's talk about the big show that you have coming up in October. Lots of star power on deck, and a few of them are friends to our shows, coincidentally. You've mentioned some of them, the Oaks, Big and Rich, Crystal Gayle. What can people expect at this big all-star tribute?
Well, first of all, you have to know that this is a one-time thing. This is not going to happen again, and you'll never see this many stars together unless you go to the CMA, and you won't see them all. You'll see just a few. But we're going to have 40 stars. I mean, and we can't announce them all until January, February, March, because that's as the touring schedule begins. A lot of these are major touring artists, play stadiums and packed theaters. We can't announce ahead of them until their tour is announced. But more stars that you have a few in front of you. I know that you mentioned a few, but Big and Rich, Riley Green, Lee Bryce, Dustin Lynch. They're going to be a handful of people. I talked to Keith Urban the other day. He's coming. Kid Rock, a good friend of mine, he's going to be on the show. And so it's just, as we begin to add the artists, the list will grow and grow and grow. But people you have to just be aware. If you don't get a ticket early, you're probably not going to get close enough, you know, to see all of these artists up close. And the Von Braun Center, I think seats 10,000. But I'm looking at the numbers already right here in front of me since they've been coming up on the teleprompter. And we're selling really fast at the Von Braun Center.
Well, I should tell people, we're actually taping this interview right now as the tickets go on sale. Literally right now, people are getting tickets to the show.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you have a bunch of tour dates through, you know, next summer already, too. What keeps you going on the road? You know, so many artists would say, you know, I've recorded, I've performed the hits, just let the checks keep coming in, I'm done. What keeps you going?
I think that's looking at it only as a job. I mean, I continue to sing and perform because I like it. And I love making people happy and smile and going to places in the United States I never got a chance to see as a kid. So it's fun to travel, and it's fun to sing for the fans.
And finally, as we wrap this up, when you look back at 40 years, I want both ends of the spectrum. Tell me the highest high that you had career-wise, and then the lowest low you experienced as an artist.
Well, the lowest low would have been before I had my career in Nashville, starving in Los Angeles, and didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. I mean, that was really a place. I had no work, and I had I was trying to find a job somewhere as a piano player, and I didn't really do that yet. I played piano, but if you take a job as a piano bar player, you have to know a myriad of songs. And I had to put a lot of that together, and I finally took a job and moved to Montana for a while, and then San Diego, and then back to Vegas, just making, you know, as much money as I possibly could to survive. The highs? There's been so many of those. I can't put my finger on one. From performance at the White House twice, for cat shot off the Kitty Hawk aircraft carrier, military bases around the place, two inaugurations at the Lincoln Memorial for two different presidents. I it's really hard to put my finger on a high any higher than receiving God Bless USA as Song of the Year in 1985 at the CMA.
And I imagine it's going to be performed on October 12th, right?
Yeah, we won't leave that song out. I don't know where it'll be, but in the show yet, but naturally.
If you didn't perform it, you won't make it to 41 years, I think, is what would happen.
Yeah, that'd be the end of my career faster than Dixie Chicks.
Well, as I said, the tickets are on sale now, and sections are already selling out, as I can see on my screen here. Where can people get their tickets, Lee?
Well, Ticketmaster.com is your best place, because you can do that with your internet. I'm not so good with the internet, but most people are. Or you just go right down to the Von Braun Center and buy them there in person.
Absolutely. And all the information, too, about that show and your tour and your music is on your website, too.
It is. Thank you very much for mentioning that. LeeGreenwood.com.
All right. Well, hopefully if
all social medias are at the Lee Greenwood.
We'll be sure to check it out. And if all these restrictions are lifted, hopefully I'll be there in the audience October 12th.
I sure hope so. Thanks for saying that.
Well, no problem. Well, congrats again. 40 great years in music, Lee Greenwood. Thanks so much for joining us today.